Can a survey change the future? Maybe this one can. Cannabis education is inconsistent at best and missing or misleading at worst. How can we make cannabis education better? What if we ask people who use or are thinking about using cannabis a bunch of questions? What if we ask pharmacists who could be teaching people about cannabis a bunch of questions? And then, what if the answers from those questions were used to help pharmacists teach people about cannabis better? Well, this is exactly what pharmacists as cannabis educators, or PACE, are doing. And PACE needs you to fill out a survey. PACE needs as many people as possible to fill out a survey. PACE needs you to fill out a survey on or before May 12th. This is a limited time offer for you to help change the future of cannabis education. To participate, go to promo.reefermed.ca. That's promo, P-R-O-M-O dot reefermed.ca.
Everybody in the whole world knows me. It's really weird.
Listening to your podcast led me to being a little more active.
Make mistakes. That's the way you're going to learn. Or hopefully.
It's Reefer Madness, the podcast with Trevor and Kirk.
Kirk, we're back.
Hey, Trevor, how's it going?
Good. You might notice my face is redder than usual. I was out fishing this afternoon, so this is some combination of wind slash sunburn. But it was a gorgeous day out on Lake Dauphin. It was a good time had by all.
Did you catch any fish?
We did. We were just saying that, you know, this is a lovely spot and not much wind and it was beautiful out there. And, you know, there may have been a beverage or two consumed, but, you know, we'd be happy even if we didn't catch anything. And bam, we got, I think, about three oversized pickerel, meaning they're too big to legally keep, and lost a few. And unfortunately, I had this pre-planned, so I had to come back off the lake, and Pat and Alan are still out there, hopefully catching more.
You could have always texted me, and I would have said, sunburn, my friend, sunburn.
Yeah, well, anyway, so ice fishing, one of the things we do way up here in Canada, and we're going to chat with another Canadian, Akeem Gardner, and one of the things we're sort of... We met him originally way down south in Florida, and he's going back and doing even some more presentations about stuff that Canerta's doing this time around.
Right. Well, we first met him in episode 106 when you were down in CanMed 23. At that point, he was the CEO of a biotech company, Canerta?
Yep.
And he talked about Canaflavins.
Yes.
And his nephew is a basketball player, which has become significant in the story.
Well, I think his nephew is not quite, is still very young. But, you know, Akeem is an enormous basketball fan and, you know, has the, you know, slightly high goals of getting his nephew to eventually be better than arguably the best basketball player on the planet. But, you know, we'll chat about that a little bit. But, yeah, last year Akeem was talking about glioblastoma, which is a particularly nasty brain tumor, and how canflavins might be helpful in treating that. And this year he's kind of he's going to do some presentations at CanMed about how there's more stuff that they think they can treat, and there's even a little bit of stuff at AI and other magic going on there. So yeah, it was nice to catch up to Akeem. Should we jump into that and talk a little more at the other end?
We can, but I think the listeners should know that there's at least two businesses involved here, right? Canerta Naturals and the Canerta Therapeutics, right?
So yeah, kind of a research arm and a let's make a product we can sell arm.
Right, I think he mentions that. So yeah, let's get into it.
Akeem, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So since we talked last, you have been literally all over the world. I've seen places like Dubai and Europe. And where have you been and what have you been doing for the last number of months?
Oh, the last number of months, we've been busy hustling around, trying to get to know everyone and introduce everyone, literally, like you said, all around the world to Canerta. So we've been in the UAE, we've been in Saudi Arabia, we went to Switzerland for an event. Where else can I remember? I can't remember it all, but those are the highlights of the last couple of months. We've been to Bio a couple of times in the US. So just putting ourselves out there at all the major events in front of different communities of people who have a lot of questions about longevity, about research, about clinical trials, about aging, age-related diseases, inflammation, and people who may not have initially thought, oh, maybe plants like industrial hemp or cannabis might have the answers. So it's been a fun couple of months.
Excellent. And you know what? That sort of segues nicely into the first thing I want to ask you about. So there are so many things in the cannabis plant, you know, depending on who you talk to, hundreds, maybe thousands of different molecules in there. And last time we talked about what you were doing with potential treatments for glioblastoma. When you have a plant as diverse as cannabis, how do you decide what kind of research you want to do or where you want to focus?
Oh, well, we are very lucky to be advised by some of the world's smartest who've been studying this plant a very, very long time. People like Dr. Ethan Russo, who has been involved in clinical trials and numerous different publications, who has seen what each individual component might do. And let me not say each, but many different individual components might do, but also what they do in combination with each other. So with people like Dr. Russo on our team, with some of the modern day advancements in things like artificial intelligence, and then now with our ability to extract and produce some of these novel molecules like the canflavins in purified form, we have a robust preclinical trial process that can start with anything from a recommendation, go to in silico screening, and then go into preclinical trials. And then once we know, and once we see what the science and the data is telling us, then people like me get to make the decisions of, okay, we're going to put a lot of emphasis in this area or that area. So similar to the glioblastoma cancer theme that we did last year, we said we're going to focus on neurology because we know we have neuroprotective activity and inflammation. Cancer will continue as a program that we're still doing at the University of Guelph, but we know that we have much more evidence about how we can be neuroprotective in diseases that are involved with neuroinflammation, and then other inflammatory related diseases like the rheumatoid arthritis, and the dementia-related diseases that come with aging.
That's fascinating. And I really want to talk more on the neurodegenerative stuff, but because it's sexy and I've dabbled in it, I think everyone's dabbled in it along the way. Can you tell me a little bit more about what AI is doing to sort of help your decision process about where you're going and what molecules to look at?
Well, we're using it in two phases as a company. One is for screening and for thinking about new flavonoid-like medicines, which is a whole process that we won't get into too much about right now. But the more important part is in regards to in silico screening and doing taking a precision medicine approach at drug development. So one of the things that we're working on doing, might be able to present some of this at CanMed this year if our experiment finishes and our data comes back, but we'll definitely present it at the end of the year. When we do preclinical trials in mice or zebrafish or any different type of study, what you have the ability is you have the ability to extract the RNA and send it for gene sequencing, right? And there you get a lot of different data back about what's been upregulated or what's been downregulated in the tissue of the subject that you were looking to treat in that trial. And then what we have the ability to do is use that with different models to cross-reference our data and what happened in that, in our case, in our neurodegenerative study, we're doing it in zebrafish, what happened in the zebrafish versus what we're finding in different, in our case, ALS subjects in human databases that are out there in the real world, because a lot of the different groups like the ALS TDI Foundation or Answer ALS Foundation or so on and so forth, they have all this data put together in a database that they give to the public, to companies like ours or to research students or whatnot, to say, hey, look and see what you can find. What correlations might there be between what you're looking to do and a novel therapeutic or a novel drug or so on and so forth. So we have a couple of bioinformaticians on our team that have allowed us to start to take that approach in regards to when we have an idea about a new molecule, a known molecule, or a new formulation based on what we're seeing in our early studies, whether it be in vitro in cells or in vivo in a animal, what might that actually turn out to be in human studies? And that allows us to just make more educated guesses as we go down the path of drug development.
That's fascinating. Okay, so neurodegenerative diseases. So top of my head, you know, we've got like Parkinson's and dementia, and you mentioned ALS. But we'll back it up a little bit. You think, not just you think, the scientific community thinks there are a lot to do with inflammation in the brain. So is that sort of what you think some of the canflavins and other molecules you're looking at will affect, or how do you think these treatments might work?
Well, yes, and yes, maybe, and yes, right? So the thing about the human body and about neurodegeneration and different diseases like Parkinson's and ALS, even Alzheimer's, is that they're very, very complex. And even in the modern day literature, we don't really know what's causing them. So the challenge is that to be able to treat or help manage some of the symptoms from all these diseases, to be able to extend lifespan, you sort of have to use this cocktail approach of giving the patient many different things that do many different things to treat everything that might be going on all at once, right? So in regards to things like ALS, for example, there's 4 approved treatments in the US right now. It might roll back to 3 because there was some news this morning about a failed phase 3 trial. We could talk about that later. But the practitioners, what they actually do when they see their patients, because ALS is 2 to 5 years post-diagnosis to mortality, sometimes even faster, they just give the patient, put them on all 3 of them, right? Because they don't know what specifically is wrong with the patient. They don't know what's leading to the neurodegeneration, right? There is chronic inflammation involved and inflammation of the spinal cord and the CNS, I should say, in that disease, but that might not be the only thing. So for us, we're very fortunate to be working in the cannabis plants from the beginning of time. Many people in ancient civilization has known that this plant has neuroprotective properties. Like Emperor Shen Yan said in 2700 BCE, that the seed is sweet, it will make one fat, strong, but you'll never go senile, right? Later in the ninth century,
Kirk's gonna love that quote.
People love, and this is why it's cannabis is so important, because we've known from the beginning of time, right? Like later, when I went to the UAE and when I went to Riyadh, I was like, "Do you guys know who Al-Kindi is? He's one of the famous medicine men from Syria. In the ninth century, he said hashish, it eases the muscles of the limbs and what flows, so it helps you with your spasticity. It helps you." It helps reduce the seizures that may come from epilepsy, so on and so forth. And in more modern times, we know this to be the case. We've seen what companies like GW Pharma has done. We've seen the effects of how companies like Charlotte's Web has been able to impact people all over the world, right? So I'm very excited that what we have the ability to do is use a lifetime, a human history worth of information about the safety and the efficacy of this plant on different neurodegenerative diseases, and then specifically put together a cocktail mixture based on what we know each of the individual cannabinoids, terpenes, polyphenols, and anything else that are in the plant. We can put it together specifically, standardize it to be able to put together a formulation that we believe will help people with ALS that are dealing with their symptoms, improve their quality of life, and might even provide the neuroprotection provided to be disease modifying as well. And what's exciting, again, about formulations like this, but also about the history, is that it's not only things like ALS. There's other neurodegenerative diseases like FTD, like Alzheimer's, TBI, so on and so forth, that this formulation should work in. So at CanMed this year, I'll give a talk and I'll share a little bit about where we've come from, where the literature begins and what we know today. And then we'll continue to try to advance this as quickly as possible to human clinical trials, sometime within the next 12 to 24 months, so that we can continue to follow this up with the right data required to bring this to different regulators, Health Canada, the FDA, the EMA, so on and so forth.
And that's really interesting. Now, sort of a theme that's popped up over and over again. Okay, A, it's not surprising with Dr. Russo on the team that we're talking about like an entourage effect kind of thing but B, from the pharmaceutical world, usually we're talking about one molecule, one indication. And that's not sort of how cannabis works, we think. We think, a bunch of molecules for one indication. But from people we've talked to, it sounds like it is difficult to get approval for cocktail of molecules for one indication. We're not at that stage yet, but do you think if all your trials go through properly, you'll be able to do the get a patent or an approval or whatever for cocktail for one indication, or how do you think that's going to go?
Oh, well, we're definitely betting the house on it, right? And we think it's possible. Again, as I said, I w was in Switzerland for the International ALS MND conference, and when I was talking to the practitioners and even in the presentations, they admitted they take a polypharmacological approach at treating the patients. They don't treat the patients with just one thing. They treat the patients with multiple things. They do the same thing in cancer because cancer is so complex and it can be terminal if you don't catch it on time and if you don't kill the tumor. So it's not just one thing that they use, is chemotherapy plus something else, is combination therapies. So whereas in the former regime of healthcare medicine and how we used to think about things, it might be like, what's the one thing that we can prove that this one medicine does, and then go after it and show it very clearly in a clinical trial. When it comes to the overall benefit of the patient, and for actually giving them the best chance that it is to succeed, you need to use multiple things. The world doesn't just work. Everything's not 1 + 1 = 2. So, albeit a little bit confusing in regards to when you think about the comp. You think about the concept of putting many things into one thing to get that one thing to do many things, right? It's really what people are doing right now in practice anyways. The challenge is can you standardize that one thing so that more often than not, and I'll even say more than more often than not, because that's like 50%, can 80, 90 to 95% of the time that one thing do those many things the same, right? And that's the challenge. We think we know how to do it. There is precedent of it being done from other companies around the world in regards to botanical drugs and even cannabis. We just have to follow the steps and the roadmap that they've already laid out for us.
Oh, that I like that a lot, and I really hope this, entourage of things, botanical ingredients from cannabis really does help, because neurodegenerative diseases, there's lots of them, and unfortunately, as the population ends, things like Alzheimer's, well, all the neurodegenerative diseases are just going to increase as the population ages. So this would be fantastic if it works as well. So anything else that Canerta's been doing lately that we sort of missed on? We've sort of talked a lot about the brain. Any other sort of parts of the body that you guys are looking at?
Well, we're starting in the brain because, again, this is what we have the most advanced formulation for and what we have the most data on. But we will come back around to the other inflammatory related diseases, the arthritises, the mucotitises, the dermatitis, so on and so forth, as we continue to go. Those programs might be a little bit earlier, but we have the time to be able to really nail down our formulations and our unique products for each of those because we have our lead candidate and asset as well. The The other thing that I'll say that we're doing, and the thing that I'm probably most excited about, is albeit we're starting in cannabis because of the opportunity that Canada gave us when they legalized first, but as we know, different indigenous populations of the world have been using plants from all over to heal various ailments and diseases from the beginning of time. So I've been sort of going on this rabbit hole of learning to understand what can different plants do as well that might complement what we know about our molecules in cannabis, but also what might lead us to different molecules that are rare in plants that have been undiscovered, but that might be able to help us suffering from a variety of different things. So this is where we're using AI again for quick screenings, for understandings of what's in plants, to see if we can identify the most ideal formulations for different things based on the literature and the data that's out there today. And I'm very excited that as we continue to grow in our organization, we will have the ability to intake different plants from around the world, to concentrate what's in them, and then work to isolate, purify, do NMR, and get a fuller form of understanding of what nature actually gave us all around the world since the beginning of time, to help us be the best humans, to help our animals be the healthiest that they can be, and so that we can give back these gifts to the people and animals of the world.
That's very cool. Oh, my head's getting hit by sunshine. That really builds on some of Dr. Russo's early work as an ethnobotanist. So that's fantastic that's coming back up. So, you know, now the hard-hitting journalist question. So now that LeBron James has broken 40,000 points, do you still think your nephew has a chance to surpass him?
You know what? We got to get to the league at like 17, and then he got to just follow the LeBron James playbook, just like pretty much like what we're doing. Got to pay $1 million for your body every year so you can play like 25 years. If we could do that, who knows?
Anything's possible.
Exactly.
Akeem, I could talk to you for hours, but this is, you know, you're a busy guy and we've only got you for a short time. Is there anything else that I forgot to ask? Anything else you think our listeners need to know about you or Canerta or what's coming up?
Nothing at the top of mind. Again, as I said, we'll be at CanMed this year. Really enjoy that conference. I will enjoy being able to sit down, talk to you as well there. So anyone who wants to hear the early of what's going on in 2024 about in cannabis and in botanical medicines should be there. I'm excited for everything that will follow. And as we keep on going, I will make it out to the Prairie Provinces soon, so we will be able to connect there as well. Okay? But definitely not in the winter. We'll do it in the summer.
No, not much nice in the summer. So Kirk, because as usual, you're more diligent about this than I am. The Canerta website, you were impressed.
I am. He's got lots of stuff there. That web page is chock full of research papers, information about the technology they're doing. They're very transparent in what they're doing. One of the things I found very curious, and you'll love this, Trevor, and I'm surprised you didn't find out about it and talk to him about it, but it says, I love the comment, and it says, restoring trust in drug development with blockchain.
Yeah. They've got lots of buzzword. I'm not trying to be facetious, but yes, sort of using blockchain technology to kind of make sure you don't fudge stuff. And the other sort of buzzy term that we did bring up in the interview was they're using AI to artificial intelligence to help them weed out what they should be doing research on, because as we've mentioned, as many people, there is probably hundreds, maybe thousands of different stuff in a cannabis plant, and you know what's worth doing research on. Some of that is probably better figured out by a computer, and you know the computer says, I've looked through these 500 cannabinoids or canflavins or terpenes, and you know here's a half a dozen that I think are worth doing research on, and it I'm sure I'm greatly oversimplifying this, sorry, Akeem, but having AI sort of present that to some humans and go, here's my top 10, top six, whatever picks, sounds very interesting.
They literally have algorithms on their webpage about how they use technology. It's fascinating. It's very transparent. The blockchain, I don't want to skirt over that. My understanding of the blockchain is that this allows anybody to truly get into the research of this company, how this company does their research. So the ethics of the company, the step-by-step things the company does, blockchain, there's no secrets within a blockchain, correct?
Right. And again, you and I are, neither of us are blockchain experts, but that's supposed to, it's the open ledger thing, you know, it's permanently written down in an electronic ledger. So, you know, I can't go back and say fudge my results or change how I said I was going to do this experiment, or, you know, it's kind of permanently there that everybody can see what I did and what I'm going to do.
It's a very cool business plan to show your processes so transparently. I found also interesting, one of the reasons why I returned to the webpage, because I did go back to the webpage when we first met him. But I wanted to go back this time because I wanted to know what their deliverables are. And that's why I mentioned it up front that there are two companies. They have their naturals company now, that they're basically science-led wellness products. So they're launching their first natural health brands later in 2024. Essentially, what I see here is a company that is producing plant medicine supplements in a manner that that is very transparent. Cannabis is a big part of what they're doing, but they go on about other biologicals they're using as well. So they're a diverse company, Trevor. It was a good interview.
It was, and I'll throw one that I'm surprised you didn't jump all over, being our history nerd amongst the two of us. I really liked, I think it was the Chinese emperor quote. I'm gonna butcher it, but the equivalent of you'll get fat and strong, but you won't lose your mind. With I really thought, you know, that's to be a t-shirt. Kirk will love this one.
Yeah, the whole thing about not going senile, but yet ironically one of the often experienced effects of cannabis is your short-term memory seems to take a snooze. So to know.
But you and I both know forgetting where you put your keys is just normal. Forgetting how to drive a car is dementia. So they are different things.
Well, that's very true. And they do say that every time you have a memory, you reformat a path in your brain for that memory. So you never store the same memories in the same place. That's why I can never find my keys, you see, because it's never stored. You see, it's never stored in the memory in the same place. Just saying.
Well, see all the things we learned on this podcast. So, Kirk, again, I always enjoy talking with Akeem, and, you know, being a good Canadian boy, we're going to claim him as our own, and we're happy he's out there representing the country, doing the country proud. And honestly, all the areas they are looking at, all the, we'll call them neurodegenerative diseases, they're huge, huge problems for society as a whole, you know, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, like, you know, we don't have good treatments, or we need better for all of those. So this is some lofty goals they're shooting at.
Yeah. One of the notes I made about the episode was basically they're not quite doing the entourage effect, but they're not doing the single molecule thing. So there is a potential for them to link different cannabidiols to find the right mixture. I thought that was also very cool. It's almost big pharma on the supplement side.
Yeah, and they do skate that entourage effect line where, you know, if you have the person – You know, as we've talked to lots of practitioners who they want to use the whole plant to treat disease X, which makes a lot of sense and works well. And then we want, and then there's big pharma that to get license and money wants to take out this molecule and throw it at that indication. Probably the, who knows, but as with many of these things, the magic answer is probably somewhere down the middle, right?
Yeah, it's a good story. It's good to see that there, it's a Canadian business. And yeah, good on you. Good opportunity. You'll see him when you go down there, I guess, eh? When you get down to CanMed 24.
Yeah. By the time this goes, I will, Akeem will officially be a speaker, and I'm going to be on one of the business panels, capital markets panels. So yeah, it looks like I'm going back to Florida at least one more time.
Take a hat this time, right?
You've noticed the bald head, have you? All right, everybody, it was another good one. I'm Trevor Shufeld. I'm the pharmacist.
I'm Kirk Nyquist. I'm the registered nurse. And you can find us at Reefer Medness, the podcast, at reefermed.ca. Where this episode and all of its links will be posted.
All right, another good one.
We'll get a song from him?
He owes me another email. We'll see, or we can go with what's on your shirt.
I would like to go what's on my shirt. I had Dead Bob come visit me a few weeks back. They were doing a tour across the Prairie Provinces, and they came and hibernated at our house for an evening, and they went off to play in Winnipeg. And I will play a Dead Bob song.
Okay. You've got me convinced. We're going to go with Dead Bob.
Yeah. Old high school friend of mine. Dead Bob.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Talk to everybody later.
Well, time to blow this joint. Like the show? Let us know. We're Reefer Medness on Instagram and Facebook, at Reefer Medness on Twitter, or head over to the website at reefermed.ca to find out what we're all about and what's coming up next. Talk to you later.
Eyes that are blind. Eyes that see.
that there are basically two businesses here, right? There is Canerda. Okay, we'll just edit all that out.